Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Shamitha Basu. COVID-19 has given us all a newfound appreciation for healthcare workers. Across the country, people hold nightly cheers. And on social media, healthcare workers are held up as heroes. But could that kind of enthusiasm translate into votes? For two doctors in Oregon, it already has. Dr. Maxine Dexter won her primary for State House Representative in District 33. And this is Dr. Lisa Reynolds, who claimed victory in District 36.
One of the reasons I think I won this race is because others agreed that this is an important time to have politicians who have a deep background in healthcare, in virology, and in vaccine science. The acknowledgement that we need physicians and scientists during this unprecedented time in our history really won the day.
To find out more about how having healthcare workers in office might be beneficial during the current pandemic, I spoke with Dr. Christine Edie Mann, a family practice physician in Cedar Park, Texas, and a congressional candidate in Texas District 31. I also spoke with Dr. Haisam Gwaili, a family medicine doctor and psychiatrist, and the founder of Doctors in Politics, an organization that supports doctors running for Congress. I first asked Dr. Edie Mann about her experience treating patients with COVID-19 in Texas.
It started out very disconcerting. The federal response to this pandemic was so disjointed that we on the ground really had no great direction about what we should be doing and how we should be handling these questions and these cases as they came in. Mm-hmm. And so we were left struggling to have a algorithm and a method for taking care of people and answering questions. And that lasted for several weeks. And then we started seeing people coming in for testing. And now we just kind of roll with the punches as things change and take care of people as they need to be taken care of.
And I understand that you decided to run for Congress in Texas before this pandemic. But how has living and working through this experience changed the stakes for you?
It's really been a motivator to complete this campaign and win because the COVID-19 experience is exposing the terrible disparities we have in healthcare, the holes that we have in people being able to access the care that they need, and underrepresented communities are disproportionately being affected. And we've known that about medicine in general, but this just highlights how bad and how profound it really is.
And Haisam, what about for you? You're working in a psychiatric ward in New York, I understand. What have the past few months been like for you?
Yeah, I think it's been a real struggle. Over the past couple of months, we've really seen mental health issues amplified in the midst of this pandemic. I think what we're seeing now is a general level of anxiety across the population. We're seeing an increase in suicidality, and patients are coming into the hospital a lot sicker.
I want to know both of your thoughts on this, but maybe Christine, can you start? What policy change would make your work during this pandemic better or more effective?
The first thing is that we need universal access to healthcare. We have a situation right now where millions of Americans do not have access to the care that they need. We know that that's been that way forever. And so the number one policy change would be to ensure that every American has access to health care from birth to death without exceptions for job loss or for pre-existing conditions or for any other reason. So that's what I've been fighting for about 12 years. I started speaking out about that long before I was a candidate for Congress, but it is one of my main platform positions as I go through this cycle.
And Haisam, what about for you in your work that you're doing right now? Have you been thinking about what structural policy changes would actually make a big difference in how you're able to deliver your services?
Yeah, I think that we need to be having the conversation about healthcare and not health insurance. And we really need to create a system that has nothing to do with the business of medicine, but focuses on being devoted to patients and restoring the human factor of medicine that's sort of been eroded over the past several years.
Christine, what is the value, do you think, of having doctors serving in these elected roles?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, just from the policy writing piece of it, there's no substitute for decades of experience in medicine when it comes to helping others in Congress and in legislative bodies to understand the healthcare system. My experiences through the years of practice can't be duplicated by just a booklet that a campaign aide or a legislative aide puts together for you when you are going into these negotiations. Mm-hmm. So bringing that firsthand experience is critical and crucial. And I think the other thing is that we are seeing more and more doctors who are not only cognizant of social determinants of health, but who are recognizing that politics impacts those social determinants of health. And right now, it's to the detriment of our patients. And it is giving us a voice to say, gun laws affect our patients. Mm-hmm. Healthcare policy affects our patients. Disparities between mental health and physical health affect our patients. Systemic racism affects our patients. All of these social determinants of health impact our practices, and we are at the point more and more where we're saying we want to do something about that.
You know, a couple of years ago, I'm recalling when the National Rifle Association spoke out, and this was sometime after a major mass shooting, and a number of doctors and medical professionals had been speaking out and saying that it was time to introduce some gun legislation. And the National Rifle Association said at the time that those anti-gun doctors should, quote, stay in their lane, or in other words, stay politically neutral, stick to what they know, stick to medicine. And I remember a lot of doctors pushed back against that. Haisam, do you feel the pressure to leave politics out of your work?
Yeah, I think there's always a pressure in our training to remain as apolitical as possible. But I think what we're learning is that healthcare isn't just about delivering healthcare now. It's also about economics and politics. People are making political decisions that directly impact our interactions with patients in the room. We are seeing the effects of legislation on people and how they have to navigate their lives to try to live a life of dignity and quality, despite people not really understanding how the laws are impacting them. I think that there is really this huge push, right, for doctors to get involved, to get political, to flip the narrative so that we can actually do what's best for our patients, as opposed to the present system.
Haisam, I understand that you ran for city council in Seattle in 2017, and now, of course, you're helping others who want to run for office through your organization, Doctors in Politics. Have you seen more of an interest and an urgency among medical doctors in entering politics since the pandemic began?
Yeah, I think that there truly is an urgency now for doctors to be at the table. I think what is really clear is that the leadership that is coming from the government and from medical bodies that are supposed to represent us and hospital organizations are just not putting people first. And that disconnect is really leading to poor outcomes. Mm-hmm. And so I think that doctors are sort of rising to the challenge and really asking the question is, why are our voices not being heard? And since we are experts in this field, can look at data and make decisions, we should actively be involved in how healthcare is restructured in this country.
In 2018, we did see this wave of women candidates running for office across the country. We saw a wave of candidates coming from STEM fields with non-political backgrounds for the most part. How do you think these candidates from medical backgrounds might fare in the polls this November?
Yeah, I think that we saw really a surge of women and STEM candidates in 2018, and I think appropriately so. I think that the American people want something different. They want people who represent them and care about their vested interests. I think that our candidates that are running in 2020, they have come from very different backgrounds and are all really interested in pushing a narrative of putting patients first and restoring the human factor of medicine back into healthcare.
And I will tell you that we had two doctors won their Democratic primaries in Oregon. So I think that just speaks to the idea that doctors are respected members of the community. And I think that this is a group of people who is untapped and has a great potential for making a difference in a legislative body.
Haisa, maybe you can talk about this. How do you think doctors as elected officials would maybe help message to the public and bridge sort of a gap of understanding? I'm thinking that part of what some people in this country might be struggling with right now in terms of this pandemic is understanding the scientific information around COVID-19. What do you think might change if there were more doctors in elected roles?
I think that what we are seeing is that they're really good at messaging complicated ideas in simple terms so that patients can understand it. We do it every day when we talk about chronic illnesses that people suffer from, and this is no different. I think that we as doctors can take complicated legislation, explain it to people in a meaningful way so that it is digestible and understandable. And so I really think that doctors have a very unique perspective. We are not paid to be adversarial. We are collaborative in our natures. And so I think that is really a strength that Congress is really lacking at this time.
Christine, I wonder what your thoughts are on how you've watched the relationship and dynamic play out between Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the head of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, and the president himself, President Trump. What has watching that relationship made you think about doctors and medical professionals and politicians?
It has been a yo-yo between being so thankful that he is there to push back against some of the narratives that the president is putting out there versus days where I just want to yell because he's not pushing back as vigorously as I would hope that he would. And quite frankly, I feel like he is walking a tightrope as best he can, that he recognizes that his voice at that level is 100% necessary, that there is no one else who is going to do what he is doing, and that he is doing everything he can to keep this ship going in some fashion in the correct direction, knowing that the president is going to override him at every turn. It is an opportunity, though, for someone to at least be speaking out when he's able to against some of the things and the theories and the false information that the president is giving.
And how do you yourself think about having to potentially walk those kinds of lines and make those political decisions and those political messaging sorts of decisions? And do you see them as being in opposition or in conflict with some of your training and your medical background?
I would only be in conflict with my medical background and my training if I didn't speak the truth and if I didn't speak using evidence. And I am not worried about that conflict at all. As Haisam was mentioning earlier, we have a daily job where we have to convince people to do things that they may not agree with, that they may not think is correct, that they don't understand what the importance is. And my job as a doctor is to convince people to do things that they don't want to do. And that is a skill set that I have honed over 20 years, and I'm ready to use that same skill set to convince people who do not agree with me legislatively about why they should do what I'm asking them to do.
In 2018, the Trump administration disbanded the pandemic response team, and some critics have said that that's part of the reason why we are not as well prepared as we should be for this current crisis. Christine, what do you think needs to change for the U.S. to be more prepared for a crisis like this in the future?
Well, there's no question that the pandemic response team needs to be put back together. It will help us some with this current crisis, although we are so far down the road right now that we are going to have a real challenge in managing how this pandemic plays out. But there is no question that we should have scientific experts available. And what a lot of people don't understand about pandemic response teams is that their work is ongoing. They continuously search their colleagues, their connections throughout the world for issues that may break out into the public, disease hotspots, and they game out how to address those issues. They make sure that we have stockpiles of necessary medical supplies. They understand how to move those supplies from location to location within the United States. This is not a passive team that only jumps into action when there is an actual crisis. They are constantly working to make sure that we are prepared. And the idea that that response team was disbanded in 2018 is just abhorrent, and it needs to be fixed.
Dr. Christine Edie Mann is a family practice physician in Cedar Park, Texas, and she's a congressional candidate in Texas District 31. And Dr. Haisam Gwaili is a family medicine doctor and a psychiatrist and the founder of Doctors in Politics. Thank you both of you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.